Now, a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore His sisters sent unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When He had heard therefore that he was sick, He abode 2 days still in the same place where He was. Then after that saith He to His disciples, let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto Him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone Thee, and goest Thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said He, and after that He saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said His disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. But they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. To the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. They expected a stoning when they got there. Then when Jesus came, and by the way, that's a true sign of whether or not you're a disciple, amen, is if you are willing to follow. And by the way, Thomas don't seem like too much of a doubter right there, does he? Right. Amen. It might just be the personality of Thomas. Right. Thomas was a melancholy personality, Brother Barry. He probably belonged, if he was an American, he'd probably be from Missouri. Show me. Now, that's the way Thomas was. It's not that he doubted the Lord. It's just that a melancholy personality has to have proof. You don't just bring something, throw it at them. They have to have proof. And that's why Thomas, when we give him a hard time over that, it might just be in personality. And I tell you, we give a lot of folks a hard time sometimes. It might be just personality quirks. Amen. But anyhow, he said, let us also go that we may die with him. He's not having no problem standing for the Lord or with the Lord. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus then to her, saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You can be seated. We'll not read the rest of the passage for sake of time. Let's pray. Dear God, we come to You this evening realizing we're nothing, never will be anything, Lord, apart from You. Lord, the church just quoted the verse there in the book of Psalms that we are nothing, God, that we don't deserve any glory, God, but we want to lay it all at Your feet tonight. I am nothing, God, tonight. I need Your power. I need Your touch. Lord, the few feeble thoughts that I have tonight will accomplish nothing. But Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit will get the job done. And so I ask You, God, now to work through me. Don't let me do this on my own, God. I don't want to stand up here by myself. I'd just soon go leave out of here and let somebody else try. I've got to have You. I pray that You'll help me, fill me, use me, and we'll give You praise, we'll give You glory, we'll give You honor for all You do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, I want to say this right off the bat, and we all know this, but God is not like us. God is not like us. I mean, we know that God doesn't always do things the way we would do them. It's a good thing. There'd be a lot of Baptists that'd be dead tonight because some of the pastors, amen, that are here. God don't always do things like we do them. In fact, the book of Isaiah says God's ways are not our ways. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. The book of Romans chapter number 11 says this in verse 33, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. A lot of things about God I don't understand. I sang a song a second ago. I'll be honest, that day when Brother Darrell got killed, and I didn't understand that. I didn't understand back in 1991 when my older brother had a car accident and was paralyzed from the waist down. A lot of things that God allows and God does, you're not going to understand. Say amen right there. But we know the old cliche, you can't always trace God, but you can always trust God. Amen. Hey, you can't always figure God out, but you can always follow Him through. Amen. He's different than you and I. And I was looking at this and thinking about this passage. There's a principle that I believe every child of God needs to learn. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I believe there's a principle that I believe if we could get a hold of, it would make a lot of our days a lot smoother than they are. And the principle is this. When there's a problem, it's not God's problem. Now you say, preacher, what are you saying? God don't care about it. You missed it. When there's a problem, it is not God's problem. He don't have a problem. If there is a problem in your life tonight, and I think we all, by tears, by testimonies, by upraised hands this evening with shouts and you know, the worship and the mood of the service, I believe it's safe to say that in the year 2009, there are some problems that are represented in Rogersville Baptist Temple tonight. Amen. And there's no telling. I believe if you could see what people walked in with tonight, we'd all get depressed. If we could see the burdens that are on people's lives tonight, we'd all be in a mess. Because there's things going on in all of our ministries, in all of our lives, financially. Just a few weeks ago, in 1 week, I had 5 people lose their jobs at our church. In 1 week. And we've had numerous problems down at Walters Grove. But you know what? It's not just common. It's not just us down there. But it's a common thing among the people today. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Amen. That's right. And your turn may not be tonight, but your turn's on the way. But listen, when there's a problem, it ain't God's. Every problem is a human problem. There are no divine problems. Are y'all getting what I'm preaching? Every problem is a human problem. There are no divine problems. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? No! There's nothing too hard for God. Every problem is a human problem. And I want to look at this tonight and look at the story of Lazarus. And I want you to think for the first part of the message tonight, God's never late. Mary and Martha had a human problem. Martha made it a divine problem. I want y'all to hear me now. Mary and Martha had a human problem. And then by accusation, Martha tried to make it a divine problem. Now, I know there's nobody here tonight that would be like Martha. Now, we've already established there are human problems. Anybody else? Raise your hand. Anybody got any human problems? Yeah, you got a problem. You got things going on. But here's where it gets sin. Here's where it becomes wrong, is when you take your human problem and by accusation make it God's problem. That is, when you have something going on in your life and you get the dwelling on that word, why? When you have a situation, when you have a circumstance, when you have got all types of things going wrong, that's not a problem to God. That's a problem for you. But you know what the good thing about our Lord is? He don't have any problems. But yet He chooses to jump right in the middle of ours. You may tell you what that is. That's goodness. Oh, that's goodness. That's grace. That's mercy. Oh yes, God doesn't have a problem. In glory tonight, everything is running smooth. He has no problems, but He jumps right in the middle of our never late. God's never late. Mary and Martha felt like He was late. Look at the Bible. Look at the Bible. Verse number 21. Hello now. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if, there's her accusation, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Look what Jesus said in verse number 15, two totally different aspects. He said, I was glad for your sake that I wasn't there. Have you ever gotten mad at God because He was glad He wasn't there for you? I said, have you ever accused God? Have you ever complained to God? Have you ever whined to God and said, if you had been here, and God looked right around at you and say, well, I'm glad I wasn't there. I'm glad for your sakes, He said, that I was not there. Listen at me now. We know this story. I'm not going to rehearse the story of Lazarus' death and all that went on. We know all that took place. What I want to say is this. God sometimes does not come through as quickly as we think He should. Every one of us have weak days. Every one of us have faith that gets weak. Every one of us have days when we doubt God. Sure we do. When we question God, and can I say something? It's all right to question. I don't know whoever come up with the idea you're never supposed to ask why. Well, you know, Jesus was on the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's all right to question why. The problem is don't get hung up on the why. God is never late. Jesus intentionally delayed getting to Mary and Martha's house. And Mary and Martha, they were only thinking about the temporal good, but Jesus knew about the eternal good. They were thinking carnally. Jesus was thinking spiritually. Hey, wherever you're at tonight, whether you're just waiting on God or whether you're whining on God, it's probably somewhere between that carnal and spiritual thing. Because Jesus was thinking spiritually. Mary and Martha were thinking carnally. And because of that, they got hung up on why. And they got hung up on when. But God's never late. Come here now. Again, I'll say it. If there's a problem in your life, it's not a divine problem. It's a human problem. Amen. Any of us are capable of feeling that God has let us down. Any of us are capable of, oh, dare we say, even get mad at God? You ever went to the prayer closet with bad intentions? Woo. Oh, yes. See, but the problem's our problem. See, I'm talking about when God hadn't come through as fast as you thought He should. I'm talking about when His promises that you've read and taught and quoted and memorized. The promises, those exceeding great and precious promises that Peter talked about. And we've heard the preacher say, claim the promises of God. Believe the promises of God. Every word of God is pure. And we'll take the verse of Scripture and we'll take it to our prayer closet. And by faith we'll claim it and believe it. And yet nothing happens. And I hope you ain't one of them that thinks you get everything from God that you want. Oh no, there have been a few times God has seemingly been late on me. In fact, I thought we was going to be in our new church in October. I quit setting dates. I could just as soon set a date on the rapture as I could when that building's going to be done. That's the way I feel. And there have been a lot of days that I've slammed the door at the church and said, when? I mean, I've looked up to the sky mad at God. I know y'all have never done that. But I have. Because I'm going to tell you, I've prayed about the building. And I've sweated in that building. And I've asked God for that building. And it's been headache after headache after headache. I mean, we've come to the conclusion we think there's an Indian buried under one of the walls. I'm serious. And you know what? We were putting landscape in day before yesterday, and we was digging a hole, and guess what we found? An arrowhead. And see, that's my turn. That's what I'm dealing with right now. That's what I'm dealing with. 20 years ago, Charlotte Memorial Hospital, Mom and Dad dealt with something totally different. When Mom leaned over on Dad's chest and said, "Ronnie, what are we going to do now? Andy's been in a terrible accident. We didn't even know he was going to make it." Just a few months ago at Bible Baptist, y'all dealt with a situation. Just a few weeks ago. Why? Everybody's got them. Everybody's got those things, but it's not a divine problem. It's a human problem. Now come here, listen. I'm talking about when God stands you up. I'm talking about when God does not quite come through as expected. Oh, yes. When God seems to be late. Well, you got to define late. I've accused God of being late before. Maybe I'm the only carnal one in the crowd tonight. You know, maybe you didn't say, "God, you're late," but you've said, "Why, God, hadn't this happened yet?" Maybe you've not stone-faced looked into the throne room of heaven and said, "You're late." Maybe you ain't been that, you know, carnal, but you've said, "Why hadn't you done it yet?" Same thing. Well, you got to define the word late. I looked up the word late. It means behind schedule. It means not on time. It means to be postponed. It means to be delayed. Behind schedule. Postponed, delayed, not on time. Well, whose schedule? Whose schedule? See, here's how we do our life. We lay this thing out to God, then we lay this thing out to God, then we lay this thing out to God, and then we lay this thing out to God. And Lord, here I am today, and by Monday I want you to do this. Woo! Praise God. By Tuesday this, woo! Praise God. Woo! Wednesday, Thursday, and then we get to Friday. And our plan stopped. See, the problem is you're living on your schedule. See, God might be late, but it might be on your calendar and not on His calendar. Somebody ought to pick up the phone. It's ringing. It's ringing. Behind schedule. Well, whose schedule are we talking about? And then we talk about something like this. Why haven't you fixed my problem yet? Why haven't you saved my boy yet? Why haven't you given me a new job yet? Why haven't you healed me of this disease yet? You know, the problem is you can't get past yet. Now, I'm just using everyday vernacular. Huh? I'm just using everyday common language. Because we've all said those sort of things. Yet. You ain't helped me yet. You know what the word yet means? Up till now. Again, we've laid God a spot. And in faith, we've prayed, but we put a limit on our prayer. Back at the revival meeting, God put a burden on our heart, maybe in October, and we said, "All right, by January 1, God, I want you to answer this prayer, and I'm going to pray and pray and pray and pray." And we get here and we say, "God ain't answered it yet." Up till now. Yet, God's not answered it yet, deals with the past. In the present, well, guess what? You ain't in the faith realm. The carnal man lives in the past and present. But the spiritual man lives beyond the yet. God, you ain't saved my boy yet, but I'm still hoping for tomorrow.
God, you ain't given me a job yet, but I'm going to throw the yet away because I'm going to keep believing for tomorrow.
Faith is the substance of what?
Nothing's in the past, nothing's in the present, but hope for
the evidence of things not seen. Some of y'all need to get beyond the yet this season. Some of y'all need to get past the yet. So what? He's not done it yet back there or right here. There's still room in the future. There's still time in the future. There's still good days ahead. There's still something on the horizon. Just keep believing. Just keep trusting. Just keep faithing. And get beyond the devil's yet. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Get beyond the yet. I'm having a good time. Anybody else have? Woo! Don't shut down the door yet. Don't close the opportunity for that miracle yet. You can't see tomorrow. You can't look into the future. But faith says, I don't understand how, and I don't understand when, and I don't understand why and what, but I know God has come through in the past, and He'll come through one more time. Just go ahead and trust Him. God is never late. Yet means so far. The problem is the carnal man deals with time. And God don't deal with time. I don't know who said it first, but it was so good. God's before time, after time, in time, at the same time. I don't know who said that first, but it's good. Ain't it? God, He don't get all caught up in our little timeline. Spiritual man don't need a goal. He just needs a God. Come on now. He don't need a goal. He just needs a God. See, that carnal mind, he only understands things of the past, present, future. Man is that spiritual dude. Yeah. So we operate on time. God set up time. God established time. When He created the sun, He's the author of time. Time is dependable. Our lives completely and entirely operate by time. We knew exactly what time we had to be at church tonight. We knew exactly what time the ball game was going to come on today that Carolina won. Woo! We know exactly what time Sunday school starts. At least half of us do. Amen? We know what time we got to go to work. We don't know what time Brother Jeremy's going to quit. But we operate entirely in our lives by time. And that's why we have such a hard time letting go of it. Because we are dominated by time. But God's not dominated by time. God really doesn't care about time at all. It does not have anything to do with God. And God does not have anything to do with time. So get off of your schedule. And just let God run His schedule. Well, I tell you, if God don't save my boy by the time he's 25, I just don't know if he'll get saved. I tell you, if God don't do something for my marriage by June 1st, I'm out of here. I tell you, if God don't get me a job by April 1st, I'm going to go crazy. Well, what you doing? You're building your timeline. You're putting a deadline on God. Are y'all getting me? You're putting a deadline on God. You don't have to put a goal out there. Just look out there and see there's a God out there. God's never late. See, Mary and Martha, they couldn't help it. Their brother was dead. They had a deadline. I mean a real deadline. A literal deadline. And God stepped over their deadline. Have you got anything in your life that seems dead? God's the God of resurrection. I'm talking about something you gave up on 10 years ago. God can show up and call it out. Oh, thank God. Hallelujah. Some of you done give up on a lost family member. Some of you done give up on a healing for your health problem. But don't you put a deadline on God. He can call it out of the tomb. He can call your Lazarus out. I said He can call your Lazarus out of the grave. What's your Lazarus? It's already been stinking. You won't even go near it no more. What problem in your life won't you go near? Because you've done give up on it. It stinks. You look back and say, I can't approach that problem anymore. But God, in our weakness, in our carnality, Brother Hawkins, we have put lines on God. And He's so gracious, He'll step back over them and fix them anyway. God's never late. God's never late. Faith doesn't need a timeline, doesn't need a deadline, doesn't need a goal, just needs a God. No specifics in that Hebrews chapter number 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. No specifics. Faith needs no specifics. Needs no details, needs no facts. He just left it out there. Things. Anybody got any things? Got any things you're hoping for? There's no specifics with faith. Oh, glory. Faith needs no goal. Faith just says, I have a God. I have a God who knows all, who is all, who can do all. And though I don't understand it, I'm just going to believe it. Hallelujah. God is never late. Thought about this. Time is relative to where you're living. Time changes all the way around the world. If we go a few hours west of here, it'll be, what time? It'll be 7:30 instead of 8:30. Time's relative where you're living. The problem with most children of God, they're living on a standard of time different than the standard God lives on. Oh, yes. Yeah. The problem with most children of God, they're living on a carnal standard and not a spiritual standard. Oh, yes. If you're living on a carnal clock, you'll stay defeated with doubt, and eventually you'll accuse God of being unfaithful to you. But if you're living on a spiritual standard, you don't have no problem believing it. Faith just says, in His time. I got one. Thank you, buddy. Oh, yes. In His time. God's never late. Now, here's the second part of the message. God's never late. We established that, haven't we? But sometimes He is early. Hello, Tokyo. God's never late. And sometimes He's early. Now here's the problem. Carnal people will dwell. We will sit down in the seeming lateness of God. You're late. And all the while, the Word of God says He ain't late. He ain't late. He's never late. But our carnal nature will convince us that He's late. And He's not. And in
instead of dwelling on the fact that it seems, again the word seems is very important, we're dwelling on something that's not even true and cannot get a hold of the fact of something that is true. We're dwelling on the seeming lateness of God, which is not true, when over here there's plenty of evidence about Him being early. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, He was early in our pardon. He was as a lamb slain
before.
You go home, look up the word before. You know what you'll find it means? Early. He was early in our pardon before Adam and Eve ever fell. They had already been walking with the Lamb every evening. They didn't even know they needed a Lamb. They'd been arm in arm with Him every evening. Before. He was early. How many of you guys, you don't have to answer me with a raised hand or amen, but think on your inside heart there. How many of you got saved the very first time God came to you? Did you get saved the first time God taught you? No. Did you get saved the first time God taught you? You did. Very uncommon. Did you get saved the first time? No. Did you get saved the first time? Did you get saved the first time? Did you get saved? No. How many of you didn't get saved the first time? Shake your head no. Oh, they're everywhere. You know why? God showed up before you was ready. And here we are. Here we are. I just don't understand, God. I don't understand why You haven't done this yet. I'm having this problem and it's not fixed yet. And my boy's not saved yet. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with being burdened. Don't you miss that. But it is wrong to take that burden and start accusing God. Oh, yes. And here we are in our carnal nature dwelling on the seeming lateness of God when it ain't even true. And all the while we can't think about the fact that we weren't even ready for Him the first time He came.
Amen.
He come early. He came early. For 6 months of my life, I was under conviction as a little 5-year-old boy. For 6 months of my life, I'd lay in the bed at night and be worried sick about going and dying and going to hell. I didn't understand it. I didn't comprehend it all. I'd go to Daddy and he'd say, not yet. And I didn't understand that. I wanted to get saved. But you know what, God? He was early. He was early. And here you are dwelling on God being late when He ain't. Instead of dwelling on the fact that there was a Savior before you knew you needed one. Say this. He's early in our pardon. I'll tell you something else He's early in. He's early in our problems. God many times meets our needs before they even arise. Some of you come down the road this evening had no idea the angels was pushing that car on the other side of the highway. Let me tell you why He was early for you. We shout about all that we have seen God done. What about all things we haven't seen God do? That is a deep, deep hole. If we only knew how many times in our life God was early. I'm about to get ahead of myself. God was early for Adam and his problem. God was early for Noah. He already had instructions. Oh yeah. He already had instruments before the first raindrop. In fact, He was 120 years early. He was early in Genesis for the animals. Before there was ever a monkey, He had a tree to hang on. Before there was ever a bass, He had a pond to jump in. Hello? Before there was ever a cow, He had some grass to eat on. Before there's ever a pig, He had Him a wallowing hole. He was early. He was early for Noah. He was early for Adam. He was early for Abraham. One coming up this side, others coming up on this side. Abraham, God was early. Y'all hearing me?
I just don't understand it, God. Why'd you let me down? Huh? What about the times he's been early? He was early for Lot. That warning came before the fire did. He was early for Rebecca. There were jewels and gifts sitting beside the well before she ever knew it. There were camels thirsting before she ever showed up to the well. There was a servant that was going to take her home before she ever knew his name. There was a daddy-in-law back home that was going to meet every need. There was a husband waiting to love on her. Why? Because God, in His sovereignty, was early. He was early for Ruth. She had no thought of Boaz. She didn't know the name Boaz. Just happed upon his field. She just happed. And here she is a-gleaning in the corners, and all of a sudden, boom, a big old pile of it. Woo! She hit the jackpot. He was early. Oh, man. He was early. He was early for Ruth. He was early for Samuel. Samuel. Elijah, you call me? Samuel. Elijah, you call me? No, it must have been the voice of the Lord. Samuel, here I am, Lord. Early. He was early for Moses. Moses was a belly aching and complaining, worrying about his future, walking through the desert, and all of a sudden, oh, out of nowhere, poof! A bush that was burning but was not consumed. Early. He was early. He was early for the Israelites. The Bible tells us every morning before they ever even got up, there was a supply for that day. He was early. He was early for the Hebrew boys. Brother Barry doesn't mention about the fire. He's on, there's a friend in the fire. Why? Because before they ever got in, He was already there. He was early. He was early for Elijah. He was early for Elijah. Because he looked at him and in the past tense, Brother Kevin, in the past tense, God said, I have commanded.
That's right. That's right. Amen. Amen.
I've done been in your future, Elijah. I have. I've done in the past went to your future. Somebody ought to hear that. In the past, I've already stepped into your future. I have commanded the ravens to feed the dead. Elijah's not there, but in his past, God has already prepared his future. God was doing something in your life yesterday that you won't get to experience till next week. God is preparing things yesterday that you won't get to enjoy till tomorrow. Woo! He said, I have, past tense, commanded the ravens to feed thee there. And there is a very important word. It's the will of God. There. Hey, don't expect God's supplies to be found in the devil's warehouse. If you ain't there, don't expect the ravens to bring you a hamburger. And then he looked at Elijah. I'm just trying to tell you, he's early. He said, the brook's dried up. The ravens have went on their way. But I have commanded a widow woman down there at Zarephath. He already went to his past again and worked out a shift. I don't know if y'all getting a hold of that or not. He was early. He was early for all these. Man, I could go on and preach the Bible. But God supplied their need before they ever knew there was a need. Now come here. He'll do the same for you. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Come here, Brother Kevin. Stand out there. Come here, Brother Hope. Stand over here. Come here, Jeremiah. Come here, Brother Brian. Get over there. That's the Christian. This big ugly rascal's temptation.
You got that back?
Now this is temptation. This is God.
Oh no.
God, step out over there for just a second. Take this away. Right there. There hath no temptation right here taken you, but such as is common to man. Here you are. Everybody listen?
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about how God's early.
Yeah.
Here you are going about your business, just yes. working a good day's work, yes. trying to provide for your family, trying to take care of your babies, trying to mind your mom and dad. And yep. you don't know yep. it. But over here,
yeah,
temptations are coming.
You're right.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah.
Now come on, get him. Meet him. Hold it, God. Come here, God.
Yeah.
Stop him.
Got
hold it. Now look here. God says, you can go tempt him. God will allow it. But here's what he says. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will with the temptation.
That's right. Amen.
Also,
that's right.
make a way of escape.
Right.
So temptation, I'm going to let you go get my child.
Sure.
But there's one exception. You got to take way of escape with
right.
you.
What about that?
Yep.
My God, that's good.
Hello! Now don't think you ain't ever going to have to face temptation. But you're not going to have to face temptation alone. He's got it. He's got the way of escape. Oh yes! Temptation can never... Temptation, young people, can never come to you without the way of escape. Our God is so gracious that He'll never let the devil, never let the world, never let the flesh bring a temptation to you without giving you a window, without giving you a doorway to get away from temptation. See, you don't see it. You don't see it. But God's early. He's early in your problems. Oh, I know. Here we are, belly aching, complaining, whining, mully grubbing. And He ain't even late. It's on your calendar. It's on your stopwatch. He's not even late and you're whining about it.
Amen, brother.
And all the while your spiritual man's over here saying, but what about when He's been early? What about when He's been early? And we're over here whining, oh God. And the Spirit's saying, what about when He's been early? I'm trying to help your spiritual man to dwell on the right things. When we get to glory and we see the times that we didn't know God was early and we find out He was early, there ain't going to be no reason why we ain't going to be shouting crazy. We're going to go nuts. We're going to go hog wild over the times we didn't even know God made a way. I can shout. I can look over the past almost 29 years of being saved and I can see a lot of days where I was just like the psalmist was in the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, I can see plenty of them days. But what about the days when I thought I was safe and wasn't?
Oh, yeah.
Let him that thinketh he standeth.
Right.
Walking along with pride, walking along with boastfulness. Oh, I got this Christian life down now. I read my Bible this morning. I prayed 5 minutes this morning. Well, whoop-de-doo.
Yeah.
And we're walking along like we've got the devil by the tail and we got the world under control and we got our flesh under control.
Right.
And little did we know God was heading things off in our path. He's earth. In our problems. In our pardon. But He's early also in our prayers. Matthew 6:7 says, "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. Listen now, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of." Huh? Before. Before. Before you ask Him. God's up in heaven. You ain't even went to Him yet, but He already's got the answer. You just ain't asked Him. He's early. He's early. I just tell you, God's let me down. Oh, quit lying on God. Quit accusing God falsely. You're lying on Him. He let me down. No, oh, no, no, He didn't. He ain't never failed nobody. He ain't never let nobody down. He's early in our prayers. He's early in our punishment. How many times has God snatched you before you was ready? I'm talking about you. Huh? Did God ever pull the reins back on you? Oh, I'll tell you something else. That goes way deep. Because the Bible said wicked shall not live out half their days. There have been a lot of people, God showed up early. They thought, hey, young people. They thought they had their whole life to live. But they got out of the will of God, and God showed up early and punished them, took them out of this world.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we go over here. I mean, I could preach all night about it, but we go over here and we whine and complain. Whine and complain. God's let me down. Oh, no, He hadn't. Don't you let your flesh, don't you let the devil tell you that. God is never late. And instead of dwelling on His seeming lateness, let the Holy Ghost show you how He's been early a time or two in your life.
Amen.
I don't know who's facing what tonight. I know what I'm facing. I know. And if that building's all I've got to worry about, I ain't got nothing to worry about. But you know how frustrating it is. And I've got other problems. I mean, I got hit with a ton of bricks 2 weeks ago. My wife knows what I'm talking about. I'm not going to go into it. But I'm talking about got hit with a ton of bricks. God miraculously has already turned that thing around. Problem in one of my church members' lives, and I'm talking about a dear, dear friend. And I'm talking about something the devil could have destroyed with. Are you listening? I'm talking about, we've all had those days when boom! I mean, just blindsided. I've had the 3 o'clock phone calls. I've had those phone calls at 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock that'll change your life. I was singing about it a while ago. Me and my wife and kids, we never get to do this, but we took a day off. Went to the Dan Nichols Park there in Salisbury, North Carolina. We was having a picnic, having a good time. Dad rang the phone, crying like a baby. Jeremy, I need your help, son. I'm in Montana. You're not going to believe it. Your buddy's dead. Daryl Knowles just got shot in the face. He's dead. I need you to go to R.S.'s house. You know them good. Good friends of yours. You need to go to R.S.'s house right now. They're devastated. They have nobody. I know them calls.
Yeah.
I know what it's like at 3 o'clock in the morning for a preacher friend to call me and say, "Have you heard about brother so-and-so?"
Yeah.
I got a song right now I wrote. I've sang it here. I'd rather die than go back to the world.
Yes, sir.
I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning after getting a phone call about a brother, a preacher friend, that fell into sin. I got up and went to the piano at 4 o'clock in the morning, and me and God poured our hearts out to each other.
Amen.
I know what it's like to have problems.
Yeah.
And there's people sitting here tonight, and there's none of us, we're all subject to it. Yeah. There's no temptation taking you but such as is common. Man that is born of a woman is up a few days in full time. All of us. But don't let your flesh get you over in a corner and blame God.
Amen.
When He's not coming on your schedule.
Right.
Don't draw a line in the sand. Don't you give up on your dead boy.
Yeah. Amen.
Don't you give up on your dead finances.
Amen.
Don't you give up on your dead health problem.
Yeah.
We serve the resurrection and the life.
Amen.
And He can bring it out of the tomb. I'm talking about something you've done give up, done stinking. God can call it out. God can call it out of the tomb. Just keep believing what this book says. He's never late. And sometimes He is early. Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Don't allow your carnal man to rule. Think spiritually. Think spiritually. Think spiritually. Don't be fleshly. Be spiritual. Don't be carnal. Be spiritual. Don't think temporally. Think eternally. Get your mind off of the past and the present and let the faith man look to the future. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Don't you put a deadline on God. Don't you put a timeline on God. Don't you put a goal on God. And say yet. Don't you say yet to God. God will step over your yet when He wants to. He ain't stopped by that yet. You just keep faith in it. Keep believing it. Keep trusting Him. Keep faith in it. Keep believing it. Keep trusting Him. I know the shape, circumstances our country's in. I know the situations our homes are in. I know how our young people are sometimes cold on God. I know how a marriage can be. But don't you give up on God, wife. Hey, lady. Don't you quit believing for that lost husband. Mom and Dad, don't give up on that boy that's been out in the world. Don't you put a timeline on God and say, I'm going to give up. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. Don't you do that. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Some are already in the altar. I believe there's a lot of them more that need to be. Just coming and renewing your faith and believing that God can. There are no divine problems, only human problems.